Welcome to the Evening Booze Hour.
Episode 120. The bras are off, the drinks are poured, and the brows are on fleek.
Let's do this.
Do they say on fleek? Do the kids say that?
I don't think they do anymore. Hey, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Catherine.
Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you. You're the first one to wish me a happy birthday.
Thank you. This episode comes out on Kate's birthday, which I think it definitely has before on one of our past years. I know we've definitely had a birthday episode for you then, too.
Yeah, but like we've only had this podcast for 2 years, right?
I know. Yeah.
Like, so how was my birthday on a Wednesday again?
I know. That's really weird.
Like, somebody explain that to me. Anyway, I got my brows done today by the one and only Nikki, our beauty, amazing. What is she? Our beauty correspondent?
Yeah. VIP beauty correspondent, brow queen.
Yeah. She will change your face. She will change your face by just tweaking your brows a bit.
I need to like fly to the other side of the country just to go have Nikki look at my eyebrows. I want someone to do something with them.
She is like a game changer. She's a life fixer.
Wow.
Yeah. She's everything. She is my everything. So thank you again, Nikki. You're the best. And just go to, you know, your local brow lady and it might change your life, hopefully in a better way.
Yes. Yeah.
Not great. I'm gonna just warn you. Some of them are not great. Nikki happens to be the best, so I feel very confident, but
Do you want to tell people where they can like get an appointment with Nikki if they're in the area?
Yeah, you're in Western Mass, or want to fly in from places such as Southern California. Yes. You have to go see Nikki at El Day Spa. She does facials and microblading and plasma pen stuff, which I still don't even understand. It's like the next wave of technology.
Oh.
She's explained it to me, but you know, it goes right over my head. I'm like, oh wow. Uh-huh. I don't know how this stuff works. It's insane.
Oh, we need to have her back on to tell us about some of this crazy skin technology.
I know. They're coming out with new stuff all the time. So she's always like on the, you know, in the
on
know.
The up and up. Yeah. On the up, up and up.
So yeah. So treat yourself. Okay. Yeah. So I'm coming in hot with a new brow attitude. It's my birthday. I got my brows fixed.
Birthday brows. I love it. I can't believe I'm doing dry January for your birthday. Like, that was a mistake.
Like, hey, can't you do dry February? It's the shortest month of the year.
I know. I'm like really kind of kicking myself. I also looked at like the calendar, which was a mistake because I felt like, yeah, I've been doing so good, you know. Blah, 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 no problem. And then I was like, yeah, exactly. I was like, 2 full weeks.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, 14 days. What?
I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I saw the same thing. I was thinking, oh, it's like coming up on my birthday. We're like at the end of the month. Oh, no. That was a trick.
Yeah.
We've got a lot.
It's like 5 weeks this year, which is very long.
Yeah. See, how does it's like they add a day, which then makes my birthday on a Wednesday again every year. I don't know. Space and time.
I really have no idea.
We have
who's in charge of that?
Yeah. Seriously.
The farmers? Like,
I mean, yeah.
The almanacs?
Why else do you need to do time? It's like, sun's up.
And like, I feel like they're in charge of time, right? Like, daylight savings is all for them too. And
yeah, like the farmers, yeah.
They said,
but it's like calendar? Not olden times when you had to, like, you didn't even go to school. Like, your kids helped on the field. So, right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, with school and everything and work, and people aren't farmers, like, you know,
Yeah.
90% of everyone in every town is not a farmer like they used to be. So it's math and science, okay?
That's right. Don't deny it.
Science, time, and space.
Don't ask us to explain it. Just trust it.
Yeah. Just know that you are an amazing being in this world.
Oh my God. Well, you are an amazing being. It's your birthday. You are like six months older and wiser than me. So like, what does 35 feel like?
It's just like the new 25.
Yes. I hate when people say that. You're going to say that.
The new 35. The new 35 is 25. Yeah, right? Now I'm all confused. I thought about it too long. 35 feels amazing. I feel so smart and mature and wise. I couldn't be happier to be 35, honestly.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, so cool.
What are you drinking? It's your B-Day. I'm
drinking, shocker. Everybody, hold on to your seats. I'm drinking Big Red. Big Red. Old Faithful. Listen, I guess it's good that I've had this box of wine for like a long time, right?
Yeah, I think that's a really good deal.
Have
another cup for me, okay?
So, what are you drinking on this special, glorious occasion?
Well, I'm drinking a bubbly flavored carbonated water drink.
Oh. What flavor?
It's the strawberry flavor, and I wish I had some vodka and a lime with it. That would be delicious, but it's fine.
That's nice. Yeah, I was drinking like tequila with lime juice and like salt on the rim. I went out to see my friends from Eastern Mass.
Whoop, whoop.
That was amazing. Steph is the hostess with the mostest. And I got to meet my friend Lauren's little baby.
Oh.
So I finally got to meet her. Yep, she's so sweet, and she came out on a girls' day shopping trip, which was amazing, because they would all come with me when Penny was like a baby, and we'd go to the big, nice mall and walk around. So we got to do that with the new baby, so it was really nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep. So that'd be dry.
Buy anything awesome?
I didn't know. I didn't buy anything except for food at the restaurant. So, it was really nice. And we ended the evening with some nice tequila and lime. So that was fun. So I drink different things.
Tequila.
Okay.
Yeah. I like a tequila with like a lot of ice and a bunch of limes like mashed up and then just like straight tequila just to sip it, you know?
Yeah. That's what we had.
Yeah.
That's like exactly what we had. So it was amazing. But yeah, so I'm still not sure what surprises are in store for me for my birthday yet. So I'll keep you guys posted.
Okay. Well, quickly, I'll just go over the drinking game rules and then we'll get into it because like, oh my gosh, I feel like there's so much I want to talk to you about.
So much.
Like we've kind of like saved so much of it for the episode. So if you guys want to drink along with us, take a sip anytime we have a story out of Arizona, Texas, Florida, or Japan. Anytime we have a distraction because we record at home. Anytime we talk about misogyny. Anytime we say the word literally. Anytime we get the Nick Cage rage/love. Anytime... Shit, who's after Nick Cage?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yeah, we added Gwyneth Paltrow. Anytime we talk about Gwyneth Paltrow, and we're keeping Rihanna on here until she drops her album. And Canada, of course. Of course, take a sip for Canada. You know, there's lots of options for you to participate.
Never a dull moment. Yeah. Oh my God. Keep going. I ruined your flow.
No, I think, okay. And then just, you know, support us. Thank you. We have a new Patreon saint. Our special correspondent, animal correspondent, Maggie, who's been on before. We'll definitely have to have her back. She's now an official Patreon saint. So obviously one of the coolest people in the world. And if you want to be one of those people, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/eveningboozehour and support us for as little as $1 a month. And you get access to our confidential confessions minisodes, which we do every other week. And we just answer a lot of like, would you rather questions or talk about like hot topics in the news that we just didn't have time for on the regular episodes. They're fun.
Yeah. Wowzers. Mm. So good. You never cease to amaze me.
But yeah. Okay. So like last night was the SAG Awards and today the world is freaking out over a couple moments that happened. Like the world is freaking out. Like, and so I know this comes out on Wednesday, so this will be behind, but I want you to like get our in the moment reactions.
Yes. And I'm actually, I don't know if you want to do the same, but I'm going on to Instagram and I'm searching. I think I'm going to look at the Vanity Fair.
Oh, yeah, for the fashion.
Or Vogue. Yeah, if you want to talk fashion. Yeah, okay, but let's do it. So we were talking about the like the moment that broke the 2020 internet was when Brad Pitt won his award for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So he ran into Jennifer Aniston, who had just won backstage, and they like had these huge infectious grins and were like smiling ear to ear at each other and were like going in for a hug. And then the other, you know, most posted pictures, her kind of with her hand on his chest and like
walking
away, and he had his hand on her arm. So it was like
holding on as she was walking away.
Yes. It was so poetic. Like, it's like the picture that your grandkids will show you and be like, do you remember where you were when Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt got back together? Do you remember where you were?
I mean, he looked like he's like longingly looking at her, you know, as he's, and like I saw, I think it was Comments by Celeb, that Instagram account. I can't remember who said it, but they were like, is her finger under the lapel? Is that a finger under the lapel?
Yes, people are like getting out microscopes and like looking at this picture. It's so good. But I mean, at the very least, they look so happy, like independently on their own.
Gorgeous. That was one of my favorite dresses, was hers in the white.
Super simple. But yeah, so that moment was crazy. And of course, the internet went wild. And, you know, there's people saying like, you know, Brad did her dirty and we shouldn't be obsessing and pressuring her to like get back with him. Like, things break for a reason and blah, 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 blah. So
he was brainwashed, obviously.
Have you ever looked directly into Angelina Jolie's eyes?
Exactly.
She will do some serious damage to your soul.
Like, the man was like a mental hostage. I feel like now we like are seeing like the real Brad Pitt. Like, I can't remember if it was Watch What Happens Live, and I think I've talked about this before, but it just like, I just think about it a lot when I think about Brad Pitt. Like, he and Melissa Etheridge used to be like best friends before Angelina Jolie, and she like hates Angelina Jolie because she says like, she changed Brad Pitt. And I'm just like, yeah, that's who he seems like. Just like a cool, hot smoking, hanging out guy, you know, who's kicking it with like musicians and stuff, you know.
You have to think of it. Like, when they got together, she was like the A-list actress. She was the A-list celeb. And I don't think she ran in the same circles as he did, you know. No. So I bet a lot of people who were friends with him while he was with Jen, you know, he probably was not allowed to hang out with them. I don't know. She seems like the type would be like, this is the list of two people you can hang out with. Like,
yeah. Well, and then he also had a lot, you know, he was raising his kids. And so you just don't, you know, have a lot of time to hang out anyways if you're working and raising your kids. Right. But Everin does kind of seem to attribute it to, like, when he started getting with Angelina. So.
Yeah. God. What a time. What?
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I mean, we can all hope. My hope and little wish that I'm going to put out into the universe is that I would die if Brad Pitt went to the Oscars with Jennifer Aniston.
Well, that's what the hope is. That's what everybody, and we're like, will they give it to us? Because they must be getting such a kick out of, like,
oh, yeah.
They're,
I'm
like,
sure
super.
They're still, like, cordial and, like, on, you know.
He goes to, like, he went to her Christmas party.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they like, hang out. So, at the very least, they're, like, really good friends.
Yeah.
You know, possibly with benefits. I don't know. We don't know. But they must think, like, get a good chuckle over it anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she did say something like, oh, he's sweet. You know, I guess someone asked her about it. But
well, is she going to say he's a dick?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He did, like, cheat on her and ruin her life.
She could say that, and we would just say, yeah, it's true. But she's so sweet.
But we still want you to take him back. So we want you to forget all about that and take him back.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. And Amber B, actually, like, the second it was posted, she, like, messaged our EDH Instagram account, Evening Booze Hour.
And our Patreon saints are the best.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so I was like, I am on this, okay?
Yes. Everyone is not okay, but I mean, very sweet, and like, that's how exes should be, you know? They should be supportive of each other.
I agree. Okay, so fashion, I really liked a lot of dresses from the red carpet last night.
I did too, actually.
I did post a slideshow this or that poll for the red carpet on our Instagram account, on our stories, and I'm sure by the time you're listening, you'll have seen the results, because I'm gonna kind of do a couple different rounds, and then we'll see, like, who got actually best dressed, according to our amazing followers on Instagram. So those are always fun. I like doing those.
They are fun. I love that you do those.
So you said Jennifer Aniston was your favorite.
I was one of my favorite. I thought there was a lot of good ones also. But yeah, I think she normally wears darker colors, and I really like the white, and then she won, and, you know, it was just so fitting.
Yeah, it was just very simple, and
it showed off her figure really well. It seemed just fitted nicely.
Yeah, it, like, accentuated all the right areas, and which, of course, women always love that. I don't know who was my favorite. I really loved Reese Witherspoon's dress.
Yeah, I liked her dress too.
I thought she looked really chic.
See, I think, did you put her next to Charlize Theron?
I may have. I can't.
Because I love Charlize's dress, but I really liked Reese's too, so it was a tough decision. I just loved her, like, crop top.
I know. Some of them I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, I thought, I really liked the variety, because there was, like, jewel tones, there were bright colors, there was black, there was white, there was, you know, low cuts, there was cutouts, there were trains. It was, like, all over the place. The big poofy ones, I love those. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't think of any that really.
Scarlett Johansson, I thought, looked awesome too. But she always does. But that jewel, like, that turquoise with the red lip was just awesome. But I don't know, what did you think of Margot Robbie's Coco Chanel dress? And maybe now that I know all about Coco Chanel, I'm a little jaded.
I know. I think that one probably looked better in person. But why did she have all the like necklace? Like her necklace is like down her cleavage, but then like around one boob, you know what I mean? Which often happens to me whenever like along. So I'm like, why? That just seemed like an odd choice because of the neckline of the dress. So she had like a really like ruffly kind of plaid, ruffled layered dress, but then the top was almost like a, it was like a crisscrossed halter. I don't know what
it
you call it.
It was like a Little Women gone mad.
I just really think the necklaces are throwing me off. Like,
yeah, they're not needed because it her dress goes up around her neck. So there's already, you know, something there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I really am confused about. It's like a haltery but like crossed neckline. Yeah. So it's not like an open chest, you know. I don't know. Yeah, I'm flipping through.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon was gorge. I see her too. Oh, J-Lo, again with the bow, came with another bow, this time in the back.
Oh, right, right.
She looked
That was like classy, glam.
Yeah, it was kind of, exactly, toned down for her, but the dress itself I liked.
Cynthia Erivo?
Oh, yeah, she's an Oscar nominee.
Yeah, from, she's in Harriet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she had, like, the red top with, like, the poofy pink, like, hot pink bottom.
I love that dress. Yeah,
that was really cool. And she has, like, a beautiful, like, dark skin tone. So it's, like, the color pops so much more. It's just, like, gorgeous. I liked that one. Oh, sorry.
I like Catherine O'Hara's gold, like, scaly dress.
Yes, like an orange gold. Yeah. She looks great. Full color. She looks so good. I really love her. Oh, and Amber V likes the pants with the I can't. The panted suit looks with the butt cape.
Millie Bobby Brown, that one?
Yes. Well, there was two. There was Millie Bobby Brown, and then I have the other one in our slideshow and now I can't remember her name. She's not like super duper famous. Like, it's not someone that probably like everyone has heard of, and I don't even know what she's in or why she was there.
Okay.
I forgot her name. But anyway, you can Google black pantsuit 2020 SAG Awards. I don't know. But she was good. Oh, also the girl from Fleabag.
Oh, yeah.
She was on a lot of lists, too, for best dressed. She had kind of like a... she had like a netted, like, crystal fitted thing over, like, a bandeau type of top, I think. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't remember. Yeah, it was like a black bandeau top and, like, a fitted skirt. So anyway,
there were a lot of looks that I really like, so that makes me excited for the Oscars. I think are the Grammys coming up next weekend? They're always good for pushing the envelope too.
Yeah, those that one is fun because people kind of go a little more extra. But I didn't see one dress that I was like, oh.
Right, yeah.
Didn't see one from the SAGs, so good job. Good job, celebs. Keep it up. I like it when they just wear whatever color they want and whatever, like, flaunts their body type and, like, they feel comfortable in, you know? It's like, wear whatever the hell you want. Like, I don't care what colors are, quote, unquote, in or, you know, because then it's like everybody just looks like the same or like, you know, nothing really stands out. But when
wasn't a lot of repetition.
I really liked it. So good job. Good job.
SAG Awards.
SAG Awards. But yeah, I didn't really have any like headline news or anything. I thought we just probably were going to have enough banter about the SAG Awards and Brad Angelina. Oh, did we want to talk about Harry posting?
Yeah, it's been like a week of since Megxit. So I think we need to like talk about some developments that have happened.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. So like the Queen and Harry have basically released statements at this point, right? And like they're not very detailed. They seem supportive, I guess. The Queen, you know, it was interesting. She seemed very supportive of their independence, and even made a point to call out Meghan and how quickly she adjusted to becoming a member of the family. And
was like, I don't
was that shade?
Was that shade?
Or was that sincere? We'll never know. We will never know.
Okay, so the Queen made her statement, and then Harry also has now spoken about the separation as well, right?
Yes. Okay, so Harry went on the Royal Sussex Instagram page, which I'm like, now aren't they going to have to change their name?
Right? I guess they can still be Sussex. They are still due to... Sorry, what I read.
Oh my God.
Oh. I cannot speak tonight. What I read was they can still be the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, but they can't be his and her Royal Highness anymore.
They just
get the HRH taken away.
Okay, but then so yeah, they can't be Royal Sussexes because they're not royal. Okay.
They're not royal no more. You're just like the rest of us, guys. Okay.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so he basically was at some sort of, do we even know what he was doing?
I think it was like a group or that he had helped fund one of his like causes, you know.
Yeah, like AIDS or HIV, you know, the family victims or something like that. It sounded really nice, whatever it was. I didn't write it down, so. sorry.
Really,
so I think nobody was like expecting him to, you know,
I don't think.
But now that he is like a free agent, he can say whatever do you think he had to like sign like,
oh, absolutely.
Forms, what are they called?
Like a non-disclosure agreement. Yeah. Absolutely. He's probably had to sign one from like the moment he could write his name as a child.
True. But I felt like, oh, if he just like left, like, could he really then like divulge everything? But yeah, he's probably, they seem like they have all their shit together because everything is so freaking tight-lipped.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everything is like conjecture. You know what I mean? Like, it's rumor this, rumor that. It's never an actual source, you know, like with a name and credible that we know of.
Yeah, it's always like a friend of or, but I don't think they want any more drama. You know, they do have to repay the British taxpayers £3 million for the renovations that they made on their royal home, which I totally forgot about that. But yeah, they came in and like changed everything. And now they don't even want to be there. So, and so I did hear like this morning on the news that, you know, Netflix or Apple or HBO, any of these like production companies would be an easy way for them to make the money to repay that debt. So, so we could maybe see them getting into some sort of like production company, kind of like how the Obamas have gone into that.
Yeah. No, I think it will be very easy for them to pay that back.
Oh yeah. And just like speaking appearances. But basically like in Harry's remarks, I think the most surprising thing was he kind of said that this departure had been months in the planning because things were so bad. And he basically said he had no other choice. So he really felt like this was like, you know, he was had no other decision. He had to do this. Like he definitely felt forced. It sounds like.
Oh, yeah. And like that was purposeful to say like he had no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
said, I think, like, it's with great sadness or whatever. Like, he knows kind of the shit he's stirring in his family and with the media, but he's like, you know what? I'm doing what's best for me. And Meg, I love how he calls her Meg.
Yeah. And she calls her Meg.
Oh my God, stop. So yeah, I think they're obviously doing it to be happier and, like,
yeah,
more quote unquote normal and not have to deal with all this media shit storm. Yeah.
So, like, you know, there was really no, like, new title or anything for them. I think that's kind of what I was waiting to hear, was how are they still going to, you know, help support the queen? But basically it just kind of sounds like the queen is accepting them wanting to leave and their independence and not really making a role for them, but they're just going to go, you know, they're going to go forward and whatever they do in their, like, philanthropic endeavors will, like, uphold the values of the queen, but there's really no more connection.
Right. Yeah. So, God, I would love to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, my God, yes. That's
last week.
So insane.
Yeah, I wish them the best. And, of course, this is not all you'll be hearing about on them. I mean, this is, like, so brand new. And there's just something new in the headlines every single day about it. It's crazy.
I know. I think they are going to, like, maybe take a step back now. We'll see. But I would not be surprised if we start seeing stuff coming out of, like, the, you know, House of Sussex, whatever, like, pretty soon. Because it does seem like with Disney and other stuff, they've been inking deals or at least talking about them for months now.
Right. For months. Yeah. Yeah. Things are in the works. So I'm happy for them. I think this is not a bad thing.
No, yeah, I think this is going to be good. I think it's, you know, they're doing what's best for their family and good for them. And I'm just excited to see, like, you know, and what they come up with next. It'll be whatever it is, I'm sure is going to, like, be good. They just seem like good people.
Yay. Okay. And we have another really heartwarming, lighthearted story for you next, right?
My story. Yeah. So yeah, this is a special one for your birthday.
Yay. I hope it's about unicorns and butterflies and cupcakes.
No, not quite. So yeah, you know, when in doubt, I wasn't really sure what to report on this week. So I went to my trusty old People Crime online and just, you know, start scrolling, seeing what's, like, there. And, I mean, gosh, like, to work for People Crime must be amazing, right? Like, they just are like, we need some more content. Hey, why don't you, like, pick your favorite mental syndrome and write about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, why don't you, like, pick your favorite serial killer and write about it? You know? Like, yeah. Because some of the stuff is timely, but then the stuff that's just, like, there that, like, they post, like,
those big wheels to spin, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Huge wheel, whatever it lands on. And you're just, like, hoping for, like, a certain, you're like, Ted Bundy, Ted Bundy, yeah. Ted Bundy, Ted Bundy. Oh, I'm sorry. You got basalt in Florida. Oh, and everybody, like, that is, like, sad.
Yes, that is exactly how they must pick their content. So I was just scrolling. That's amazing. And there was this article.
What did you get when you spun the wheel?
Oh, so when I spun the wheel on People Crime, I got Munchausen by Proxy Moms.
Oh, God. You're like, when I think of Kate's birthday.
Yep.
Of Kate.
So for your birthday, just be very happy that your loving mother, Marilyn, never did any of this shit to you. Okay.
Oh my God, dude. This shit is so interesting, too.
It's
like, how many Gypsy Rose stories, like, have you listened to? And you never think of them.
I know, never get sick of them. And that's, I mean, okay, so that's why I wanted to do it, because basically People has a list of like a bunch of moms who did horrible things to their kids because of Munchausen by proxy. So I'm just going to report a little bit on the syndrome, and it's fascinating. It's sad. It's very sad, but I think you're right. Like, a lot of people might have heard about it, but I think within the last year, people really got to know Munchausen by proxy syndrome because of The Act on Hulu, which was the Gypsy Rose Blanchard story. I never watched that. So I'd watched the HBO documentary, The Mommy Dead Paris, that came out like the year before or whatever. And like, you're right. I've heard that story so many times on so many podcasts that like, I don't need to see a fictitious like reenactment.
I literally actually started The Act and I watched like 3 minutes of it, and I was like, no,
oh, really? Not
like, I just didn't. I was like, I saw the one on HBO, which was like the real story of it, you know? It's like,
exactly, with so the real girl. Yeah.
Yeah, like, why are we watching this? I don't
know.
If you watch the whole thing, let us know if it's actually worth more than 3 minutes of my time.
Well, and I know Patricia Arquette, who plays the mom, Dee Dee, and then Joey King, who plays Gypsy Rose, like, they've gotten a lot of award nominations and acclaim for it. So I hear it's good, you know, but yeah, I just like know that story. So I think a lot of people kind of got introduced to that within this last year. Okay, so I'll give you a little background on Munchausen by proxy, and then we'll get into these people crime Munchausen by proxy moms. So Munchausen by proxy is a psychological disorder marked by attention-seeking behavior by a caregiver who through those who are in their care. So it primarily affects the caretaker, who is often the mother.
Right.
And
because I think of it as the mother, but it doesn't have to be. It can be.
It doesn't have to be. No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't have to be, but just someone who has probably access and like that trust, you know, for sure. And so the person with the Munchausen by proxy gains attention by seeking medical help for exaggerated or made up symptoms of a child in his or her care. Usually the healthcare professionals strive to figure out and identify what is causing the child's symptoms. And the deliberate actions of the caretaker can usually make the symptoms worse. And so, like, the doctors can't ever figure out what's happening, because a lot of times the symptoms will get worse when the child is not, like, at the doctor's office, right? When they're at home or something. Right.
Or they're going to, like, 20 different doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which some of them do. So this article also said that the person with Munchausen by proxy doesn't seem to be motivated by a desire for any type of material gain, which I thought was interesting, because a lot of these cases, they do have like fundraisers where they gain a lot of money and they get free things. But I think it's really about the attention that they get, you know, from doing that. So it's not, that's not like the motivation of it, but it's probably an added benefit.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So people with Munchausen by proxy can exaggerate a child's symptoms in several ways. They might just lie about it. They might alter their test results by maybe contaminating a sample. They might falsify medical records, or they might actually induce the symptoms themselves through various means like poisoning, suffocating, starving, and causing infection.
Oh my God. Sounds a little extreme.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's often hard to tell, right? Because it's the mother or the caretaker, and you just assume that they want the best for the child. So some warning signs to like look out for is, does the child have a history of many hospitalizations, often with a strange set of symptoms? Does the worsening of the child's symptoms, you know, generally reported by the mother and not witnessed by the hospital staff? So like I was saying, it gets worse when they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Does the child's reported condition symptoms not agree with the results of the test? And then there might be more than one unusual illness or death of children in the family, so other children.
God.
Yeah. And then
the by the time, like, since this whole Gypsy Rose thing has come out, this is like, I wonder how many, like, people they have caught, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, maybe just more aware of it,
right? Yeah,
and what to look for. Yeah. Yeah, and then just the last one is there might be signs of chemicals in the child's blood, stool, or urine. So, like, the contamination of those samples. But, yeah, so speaking of Gypsy Rose, that's probably the most famous one. So that was number one on this list of Munchausen by proxy moms. So her mother, Dee Dee Blanchard, she was devoted to her wheelchair-bound teen daughter, Gypsy, who lived in Springfield, Missouri, and was just a sweet little girl. Everybody, you know, loved her. She won everybody's hearts because they felt bad for her. She struggled with leukemia and muscular dystrophy and other ailments that her mom described. But in June 2015, it turned out Gypsy Rose had none of those ailments and was totally fine. And shockingly, she and her boyfriend at that time, who she had met online, Nicholas Godijan, actually planned and went through with the killing of her mom, Dee Dee Blanchard. So that's all, like, the story that's in the act and that documentary, Mommy Dead and Dearest, on HBO, which is insane, but yeah, also shows, like, the extreme conditions she was under, too.
Yeah, even when you know the story, like, that HBO documentary is, like, so good.
Yeah, I mean, this girl, I mean, she, you know, had no life. Like, basically, I just feel so bad for these kids because, like, they don't know what normal healthy is, pretty much. So they almost don't even know, like, what they're missing out on. And then when they figure it out, like...
Yeah, and it's, like, the first, like, documentary where you're, like, oh, my God, I'm so glad they murdered that lady. Like, you're, like,
I actually understand. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So, ooh. Yeah, Gypsy Rose got a 10-year prison term for the murder, which definitely she should be in, you know, for her part. And I didn't know this. I thought he was already in prison, but her boyfriend is awaiting trial. So I don't know. I've definitely seen him, like, maybe in court hearings. But, yeah, this article was from just the 17th of this year.
Ooh, I thought he was also jail, but they're not together anymore, right? Isn't she, like, engaged to some other guy?
Yes, I did see that.
I like know all of the Gypsy Rose gossip. Oh my God, I need to get a fucking life in 20.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, so okay, so moving on. The next one is Lacey Spears. She is from Chestnut Ridge, New York, and she documented her young son's battle with a mysterious illness on social media and, of course, got followers and tons of attention and sympathy. And but then she eventually got caught that she was poisoning her son, Garrett, with salt through a feeding tube. And levels of sodium led to his death on January 23rd, 2014. He was only 5 years old.
My God.
Yes. And she was found guilty of second-degree murder.
If you're a mother, you are like, this is a fucking sickness. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, this definitely, I think so.
And wrong
one
with
thing I did read was kind of like nobody the cause is still, like, unknown, but people do think it's, like, tied to maybe some abandonment issues that the mother suffered when they were children. And
Absolutely.
Like,
it doesn't just happen. Like, something fucked up happened, or there is a serious chemical imbalance, like, in your brain, and you have the same type of brain as, like, all these male serial killers. You know what I mean? Like, almost, it's almost worse. like your child, you know? It's crazy. Damn.
Okay. Yeah.
So what did you say? She got sentenced to what?
Was sentenced to second degree murder, found guilty of second degree murder.
Okay.
I think she was sentenced to 20 to 27 years.
Yeah. I've seen sent from like, you know, a woman on Facebook is posting and like raising money for her, and then they look into it and like that person doesn't even have a son, or like their son's not even really sick, or, and it's like they just want the fucking like sympathy and attention on Facebook. Like, oh my God, I got like so many comments and likes, and it's like so delusional.
It's so sad. And yeah, so the kids are either, you know, horribly sick or end up dead. So the next one is Tanya Reed. And and her 9-month-old Morgan Reed died in 1984. She was an apparent victim of sudden infant death syndrome. And then Tanya Reed had a second child, and the same thing happened. Yep. With her son, Brandon, who was hospitalized several times with apneas and seizures that didn't occur when Tanya wasn't around. So, like, nobody else ever witnessed those happening.
Right. Just from her saying it happened.
Yeah, exactly. Prosecutors reviewed the autopsy and found brain damage consistent with shaking. And Tanya Reed was actually a nurse who had, you know, gotten some attention for reviving another child who had quit breathing, you know, in the past. So the fact that she could hurt her own children, you know, after saving the life of another one is really appalling. But yeah, so anyway, she was convicted of the murder of felony abuse of her son and the murder of her daughter. But then an appeals court later overturned the murder conviction. And I have no more details. I wish I did.
God. Well, there's a special place in hell for these people.
Yeah, seriously.
Fucking so, people like this. Like,
and it's just crazy. It's like these people that lie and make up, you know, just like alternate realities is so, I don't, what makes you think you can get away with that?
Well, I know, God, I feel like, I don't know if everyone else feels like this, but like the last person you lie to is a doctor. I feel like they know like things to check, and, you know, so it just goes to show though, also like there can be these super trusting people that you trust your lives with. And, but it's like, if you're talking about a 2 or 3 year old kid, you have to go by what the parent's saying is happening, you know? So it's
right,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
Such a position to be in. It's crazy. Horrible, horrible.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do a couple more. So this one is Hope Ibarra. She is from Fort Worth, Texas, and she was a mom of three. She kept a blog chronicling the reoccurring cancer journey that she had been on, and attracted money and gifts, but she never had cancer at all. She claimed that her children also had illnesses, but those were proved, you know, to be fraud. And she was later convicted of, or I'm sorry, she later received a 10-year sentence for inflicting bodily injury on a child after confessing that she poisoned her youngest daughter with pathogens stolen from her workplace to cause an anaphylactic shock.
Oh.
Yeah, and that she also used nasal spray to affect the test for cystic fibrosis. She said, obviously, I was hurting her, but I wasn't trying to. So, like, I think that kind of, in a weird way, summarizes what they must be thinking, right? Like, I know I'm hurting them, but I don't mean, you know, like, I think they love their kids, but like in a weird, twisted, sick way, they don't understand how much harm they're actually causing, but you know.
If they are sick, if they're able to tell themselves that it's okay, or, you know, justifying what they're doing, they are sick. Like, but it is true. Like,
yeah.
They probably love their child more than anything, but for some reason it like translates into the, oh my God, this is something like I could never wrap my head around.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
I do not understand it. And I will wrap it up with this last one. This woman takes the cake. It's really horrible. Mary Beth Tinning. And between 1972 and 1985, all nine of her children died young, eight of them under suspicious circumstances.
No.
So, of course, she had lots and lots of sympathy. However, she was later indicted in three of the deaths, but prosecuted only for one, smothering her four-month-old Tammy Lynn in 1985 with a pillow. And she confessed.
How did they find that? Oh, she confessed. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, how did they find that out?
I don't know. They must have started looking into her after, you know, a few babies, and they just couldn't, like, you know.
Well, and you have to think,
the evidence.
Even people in the family have to be like, okay, after, like, the third one, you're kind of like,
Exactly.
She probably shouldn't be having more babies, like, you know. God.
Yeah. Okay. So she was given 20 years to life in prison. She's now 75 years old, and she was granted parole and set free in August 2018.
No.
She is out walking amongst us.
Ew. And she's like a grandma looking lady, so people probably trust her.
Oh yeah. Ew, don't trust your babies with her.
I was going to say, yeah, what if she's like a babysitter or something?
Oh, God. I hope they do background checks and see
please,
that.
I was going to say, yeah.
In jail for murder.
Google anyone who's going to watch your children. Just give them a quick Goog. Check their ID. Like, I don't know. That is.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's one of those syndromes that's fascinating. It's hard to detect. And thank you, People Crime, for, you know, this slideshow of Munchausen by Proxy Moms.
You really came through with my birthday wish this year. Yeah. I just wanted to hear a bunch of Munchausen by Proxy stories, really.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes you feel like a better mom, right?
It does, actually. I'm like, oh, yay. Meanwhile, I'm like, won't give my kids like even Tylenol, you know, unless they actually have like a legit fever, you know. God.
All right, well, so that was that. Let's move on to our BuzzFeed quiz, which I thought was kind of fitting because it is your birthday. So I found this quiz, and it was answer some questions to find out who you were in a past life.
Yes, I was hoping it was going to tell me, like, exactly who I was, because, like,
me too.
I think, like, I don't know, like, I am a Christian, but I also kind of think, like, you are connected to either your own past or, like, your soul and like somebody else's soul from history, like somehow, like I just think it's all interconnected. Okay. And the more I think about it, the more like freaked out I'm gonna get. But
no, I think I kind of just feel like I believe, right? But like I don't like the idea of this being it. So I like the idea of there being like future lives and past lives and like repeating the cycle.
Yeah. And God, who doesn't love like a love story where they're like, you know, they're like forbidden lovers or whatever, but then they like meet up in the future with each other.
It's time for them. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, God, that is like such a good story. Okay. So it didn't give you a specific person, you know, from history of like who you actually were. So it's kind of just like, you know, maybe what you were as a worker or, you know, so who did you get?
Okay. I got, you were a struggling writer, unable to give up your dream.
Same. I got the same one.
You got the same. Yeah. I think it's because I said I was stubborn. So I was like, oh,
I did too. I bet we put the exact same answers for every single one.
I mean, sounds about right. I don't really like the struggling part, but you know, if it was in the past, I probably definitely was, because, like, you know, society hates women, so.
Well, I loved it because, like, I do love writing, but, like, mm-hmm. I would definitely be a struggling writer because, like, I love it, but, like, am I good at it? No. Okay, so. What are you going to do? Oh, so I was just scrolling down to see other people's answers, because I'm always curious, like, what the other answers are. So you could get a millionaire.
Oh.
Single and lived with a dozen cats.
The dream.
struggling writer, CEO of a successful food delivery business.
Oh, that's oddly specific.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Single and lived with cats. It looks like struggling writer, single living with cats, millionaire, and a food struggling food delivery. That must be like a joke, right?
Is this sponsored by some food delivery company?
Someone else put it. You were the CEO of a successful food delivery business. But you couldn't be that in the past, because that wasn't even like a thing in the past.
Or was it more of a thing?
Oh.
Like, I'm thinking of like Beauty and the Beast in the morning when she's walking down the streets and they're like, you know, dropping off the food at the markets, and I don't know, maybe more like fresher stuff.
Okay. They
had more delicious. But I don't. Okay. I just feel like CEO is a very modern term.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Interesting. Well, so we're just a couple of struggling writers.
That's all. Okay. You know, living the dream, but not giving up the dream.
Right. Now we're into podcasting, so that's going much better.
Exactly. We're basically repeating ourselves here in the year 2020.
A struggling podcaster. Oh my God, I love that. That is so funny.
Oh, well, you guys can find out what you were in a past life. We'll post the link in our show notes. Make sure to tell a friend and support us on Patreon and on social media. And I think that's all the news that's fit to drink on Kate's birthday, 2020, the big 3-5.
Right.
Any final closing words to take us out?
Live, laugh, love. That's the only like encouraging thing I have to say. I'm 35. I'm basically in the middle of my life right now. So I'm halfway to probably my death. So cool. Happy fucking birthday.
Okay.
Woo, okay. 35.
Kate needs a moment. I think she's actually finally entered her midlife crisis at this very moment.
Yeah, gotta go. Gotta go.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.